You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Keep Up Your Courage. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
In one of his missionary journeys, the Apostle Paul was sailing along in a ship. For several days, everything went very, very well. But then, suddenly, the Bible explains, one day there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Euroquilo. Immediately the ship was caught in a great storm. We could not face the wind, the apostle explained, and so we gave way to it, and we let ourselves be driven along by the storm. The storm raged all night, and the next day things went from bad to worse. So violently was the ship being tossed by the huge waves in the sea that in desperation to save themselves, the crew began tossing cargo overboard. On the third day, becoming even more desperate, the crew threw the ship's tackle overboard. The storm continued to rage with such intensity that neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days. The ship's 276 passengers and crew were convinced that their end was near. All hope, they believed, was now lost. But then, when even miraculous rescue seemed impossible, the Apostle Paul stood up in the storm and he said, "Keep up your courage, men." After some time, the ship hit a reef. It ran aground. The force of the battering waves began to break up the stern. The crew and the passengers were commanded to jump overboard. The Bible then points out that all passengers and crew swam desperately for the shore. They hung onto planks of wood and onto various other things from the ship, which were floating in the water. And thus it happened, the Bible concludes, that they, the 276 passengers and the crew, were all brought safely to land. Now, it's difficult for us in our modern times to understand what it must have been like to be stranded at sea on a ship in the middle of a raging storm. And it is even more difficult for us to understand the pressure and the tension in such a situation. However, life in our 20th century, in the opinion of many today, may seem very much the same. Family life is frequently labeled turbulent, and marriages are often called stormy relationships. Domestic problems and marital disharmony often become strength-draining forces. The devil frequently uses these difficulties to try to get us, like the discouraged sailors, to give up. And therefore, when these days of discouragement descend upon us, instead of relying upon the weakness of our flesh, we need to recall the uplifting words of the Apostle Paul, as he, in faith, stood up and said, "Men, keep up your courage." The apostle's call to keep up your courage was not a momentary outburst expressing confidence in human endurance, nor was it a terse expression of popular positive thinking. Quite the contrary. The apostle's upbeat attitude was the result of his faith in the grace and the mercy and the faithfulness of God. In fact, when St. Paul said, "Keep up your courage," he was saying this because he believed in the Almighty and the gracious God. From personal experience, St. Paul knew that God always works things out for the good of those who love him. Oh, such bold faith is needed today. Hardly a month goes by where we don't see at least one major magazine explaining the incredible stress now being experienced by many families. Stress triggers tempers, and uncontrolled tempers result in violence. For this reason, our entire society needs to learn patience. Patience toward one another, and patience toward the will and the grace of God. Godly patience understands that most family and marriage difficulties can never be settled in 5 minutes or even 5 hours. And you today, my friend, may be embroiled in such a family disagreement, or your marriage partner may seem impossible to live with, or perhaps you are having tension where you work, or frustrations at school. If this is your situation, before you get angry at someone else or mad at something else. You must first get a hold of yourself. And before you do anything, consider the part that you have played in all of this mess. In most cases where there are problems in the family or marriage, the blame can never rest on one person. Frequently, everyone is involved, and everybody is part of the problem. No one should ever attempt to pin the blame. Instead, the most God-pleasing way to resolve family conflicts is neither to look back nor to try to decide who was guilty, or at least who was most guilty. And this, then, is also why God is the only real answer and the only real resolution through these difficult conflicts. Because, you see, God is a God of peace and a God of hope. At the center of God's heart is patience and love and forgiveness. And therefore, when you and I in our families desire peace and hope and joy, then we must begin by considering the forgiveness, the mercy, and the reconciliation that is possible in and through God. God has reconciled the whole world unto Himself through the sacrifice and death of His Son on the cross. And now you and I need to go to our gracious Heavenly Father with a heart of sincere repentance, seeking assurance of this blessed forgiveness and reconciliation. We need a forgiving heart, like the merciful heart of our gracious God. We need to ask our loving Heavenly Father to assure us of His perfect forgiveness. This forgiveness in Christ will also enable us to forgive all those around us. And so then we can say emphatically and with integrity, there is an answer for domestic difficulties, and the answer begins in the forgiving heart of God. And for you, my friend, remember, God has taken the initiative to help you. He has sacrificed His only Son on the cross to pay for your sins and your failures. And so now the next move is up to you. And the question is also this: are you, enabled by the Spirit of God, going to accept God's free healing and forgiveness, or are you going to become stubborn and insist on getting your own way, on succeeding and winning all of your arguments, and on proving to everyone around you that you are totally innocent and without sin? Now, if this is the case, then God cannot help you. Humble yourself, my friend. Be open to a future of forgiveness and hope that only the God of the Bible can offer you and your family. If you are a husband or a wife, go to your spouse and explain that you are truly sorry for what has happened. Do not try to decide who is to blame. Center your discussion on the joy of forgiveness and then talk about the new future that both of you can enjoy together. If you are a parent and you've been having difficulties with your children, ask them to sit down with you and talk to them in a loving way. Assure them of your love. Speak freely of your attitude of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And then explain also, as a responsible parent, that your greatest desire is to do everything within your power to help your children to grow up and to enjoy life, and to understand the wonderful, free forgiveness of God and the blessed eternal hope in Jesus Christ. Now, some people feel that if they were only a bit more wealthy or famous, they would not face so many difficulties, especially in their family. But this is not the case. Well-known persons in celebrated families also face days of stress and times of testing. For example, a baseball pitcher, a member of the major leagues, has experienced some very trying and difficult days. This athletic star and his dedicated spouse spent many days outside the intensive care ward of a New York hospital. Their 3-year-old son fell out of a third-story window. The child hit his head, and he became unconscious. Several days later, the father was asked what this trying experience did for his faith. And without hesitation, this humble man said, "This experience reinforces my faith absolutely. There is no question about that," he added. "God never gives you a burden He does not think that you can handle." Finally, this Major League Baseball hero said, "I always go back to one verse in the Bible which says, 'I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.'" Oh, this faith in the crucified Christ is the same special spiritual strength experienced and expressed by St. Paul in another situation. During the missionary journey described in our text for today, the apostle stood up, in the storm-tossed ship, in the midst of his despairing companions, and with great boldness and faith said, "Men, keep up your courage." This apostolic superhuman strength was based solidly upon faith, and such true faith is established firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. But some argue, if Jesus is the answer, then why are so many people, including many who call themselves Christians, still so discouraged today? And the answer is probably because so many of us often fail to understand clearly what real faith is. Genuine faith, my friend, is more than a mere religious feeling. Saving faith is complete trust in Jesus Christ as described in the Bible. In a religious survey done in England, it was recently revealed that 8 out of 10 people consider themselves Christians. However, only 4 out of 10 believe that Jesus Christ is true God. Now, of course, we should not really be surprised that a somewhat similar situation probably exists in the United States and Canada also. The majority of our population readily accepts Jesus as a great moral and spiritual example. But only a decided minority actually believes that Jesus Christ is indeed God and that Jesus is living today. But of course, this can be changed, and this change can begin today, and it can begin with you. Setting aside all of our silly and grossly misleading cultural stereotypes of Jesus, let us focus instead upon the true Christ, Jesus the Messiah, as he is described in the Bible. Long before Jesus was born, long before the eternal Logos took on flesh and bones, Isaiah the prophet spoke eloquently of Jesus as being wonderful, the Counselor, and the Mighty God. The prophet Micah spoke also of Jesus the Messiah, soon to be born, when he said, "And he will arise, and he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, because at that time he, Jesus the Savior, will be great." And then after Jesus was born, after he was crucified, and after he was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, in his second sermon recorded in the book of Acts, the apostle Peter said, "But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that Jesus Christ should suffer, he, Jesus, has thus fulfilled." Oh yes, my friend, this Jesus we are talking about today, he is the real Messiah. He is the one you can trust in for everything. This is the Jesus who, through miracles and medicine and doctors, he is the one who heals our physical diseases. And this is the blessed Redeemer who, through the power of his crucifixion, heals our spiritual sicknesses of sin. For by his bloody crucifixion, the Bible explains, by his bloody crucifixion, by his stripes, we are healed. Oh yes, indeed, this is the long-promised Messiah that Zechariah was speaking about when he said, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness." Indeed, Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, this Messiah, crucified and raised from the dead, is now waiting for you to come to him. The offer of Jesus is made in mercy, and it is made in love. The invitation from the blessed Savior to you today is simple. "Come unto me," Jesus is saying to you. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." At this moment, Jesus is waiting to help you, and he is demanding no application to be filled out, and there are no special human virtues needed to qualify. In sincere repentance, simply acknowledge your past failures, confess your shortcomings, and by faith, trust completely and alone in the long-promised Messiah, the blessed crucified and resurrected Redeemer, and the beautiful Savior. Jesus is the true God. All the power of the entire universe is at his disposal. This Jesus can help you. He wants to heal you, to renew you, and to refresh you. This blessed and mercy-filled Jesus is waiting at this moment to embrace you, to love you, and to save you. So, my friend, this is your hour, this is your moment to embrace by faith the one who not only wants to save you for this life, but also for all eternity. Amen.
you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.